そう。Okay, so from yesterday we just started our retreat, you know, and I clarified the purpose of our this retreat. And, you know, yesterday we talked about, I talked about our situation in Japan, you know, and something is completely changing, and but this change is not just for Japanese people. I mean, this change means something for you too, you know. So let's start by telling this, you know. Okay. As I said, you know, after March 11th is of course earthquake day, you know. We suffered a lot because everything just collapsed, you know. But it's not so simple like that, you know. Maybe you read many articles about our situation, and after earthquake, like especially people in north, which are directly attacked by earthquake and tsunami, they behaved extremely well, you know. There's nobody who stole anything. They helped each other, you know, and they behaved extremely like in accordance with other people. You know, they always help each other. You know. So we suffered a lot, you know, but at the same time we found many good things. Many good things. And then, strangely, very strangely, actually, we found extremely deep truth. Because I think all of you already saw the seaside town, which directly attacked tsunami, and all the buildings are just gone, you know. And after that, just empty space. It's just amazing. As human history, nobody saw this kind of scene before. And even some kind of military people came, you know, American army or other countries' army, they came. And even they are surprised because they went through the worst situation of war, you know, bombing or like that, you know. But they never seen this kind of empty space created by war, you know. War is just bombing, you know, maybe burning or like that, you know. But our human arms cannot destroy things like this as a tsunami did. And after tsunami attacked, just northern seaside, completely damaged, and just everything was just gone. And after that, just empty space. So, especially for the people who used to live there, they just lost their voice because they lost literally everything. Houses and their profession, their way of making money, their livelihood, and of course, some family members, you know. But at the same time, very strangely, we felt peace of mind. Extremely strange, you know, because we lost so many things, you know. is so damaging, you know. But at the same time, some kind of peace of mind prevailed over there. Very strange. So, what does it mean, you know? Like, we have so many things. Actually, things, material things, human relationships, your career, your income, your healthy body, you know, your fancy clothing, houses, or cars, or so many things, you know. And even if we lose just 100 rupees, we get upset, you know. And then we lose someone very important, or we lose our livelihood, we lose our even health like that. Then, of course, we become so panicked, you know. And, of course, we can understand why. You know? But in tsunami area, they lost not just you know, $100, not like that. They lost everything. Literally everything. Just some people, they lost a job, you know. But sometimes company itself is just gone with their buildings, with their factories, with their people, like that. Just suddenly gone, you know. We just couldn't believe, you know. But at the same time, as I said, you know, at that time, very deep truth was revealed to Japanese people. And even now, not so many people realized it, you know. And that's why, after earthquake, we have been just preoccupied the fear of nuclear radiation pollution, you know, and also how to reconstruct the country, how to get financial aid, you know, or how to reconstruct a road or railway or buildings or like that, you know. So then, just after what earthquake, we found extremely deep truth, but this truth is not yet realized well. You know? So, what did we discover? Like, when we are surrounded by so many things, so many people, and even when we lose just one of them, we get upset, we become depressed. You know? But when we lost everything, we just couldn't believe our fate. But at the same time, some kind of very deep truth is revealed. You know? So then, what does it mean? We are ironically found the world of formless when we lost all of our forms, you know, like that. So that's why maybe you know someone who is reaching the end of their life, you know, because of their extremely serious sickness, you know, like that. And sometimes, of course, some people becomes panicked, you know. But some people actually found just a peace of mind. Why? Now their life is ending, you know. And their body is becoming worse and worse. But they found peace of mind. Why? You know? So, when we are surrounded by all so many things, we are identified with forms, you know. And when we lose just one part of our forms, we became panicked, we became depressed, because we feel we lost one part of ourselves, you know. But now, when we lose everything, like a Japanese earthquake, after the Japanese earthquake, or we are now reaching the end of our life, so then we cannot identify anymore with just forms. And at the time, the world of formless is revealing itself. Very strange, you know. And real peace actually exists only in this kind of the world of formless, you know. So the point is, you know, of course, as long as we are surrounded by things, and things are always impermanent, and sometimes better, sometimes bad, you know. Then each time we become happy, we become unhappy, we are so excited, we are so miserable, we are so depressed, like that, you know. So we are always controlled by the things around us, you know. Then we can never find peace of mind in the world of things or form, you know. Then sometimes such a extremely bad things happen to us, and our life is reaching the end, we found a very strange, mysterious peace of mind, and which comes from the world of formless, you know. So that's why then now we understand where is the peace, you know. Peace doesn't exist in the world of form. Peace exists only in the world of formless, you know. But to experience this, we don't have to experience earthquake or tsunami, which Japanese people experienced this much. But just in this meditation retreat, we can experience it if we practice in a proper way, you know, by practicing three kinds of meditation. And the purpose of these three kinds of meditation are letting go of our thinking mind, and we are entering into this space, the world of formless. You know, this is our purpose. Okay? So then we discussed about like a conceptualization or that kind of things yesterday. You know? So because you know, Buddhism, now many people have become interested in Buddhism. And usually they start to read Buddhist texts, you know, and they start to listen to teachers' Dharma talk, like that. It's good, it's very good, you know. And, but, after reading some Buddhist texts, usually all of you feel very frustrated, you know. Why? Because you can understand what these texts are telling you, but you just cannot feel it, you know. These texts are talking about compassion or emptiness, that kind of things, you know. But compassion is still unreal for you. Emptiness is still some kind of fantasy for you, you know. So it means you are just reading some kind of guidebooks, you know. And this guidebook is full of very beautiful photos and full of very attractive articles, you know, very interesting, exciting articles. You are so excited about this very tropical island in southern Pacific or like that, you know, and so beautiful. But then, for a while, you enjoy reading that kind of guidebook. But soon, you become frustrated. Why? because still you cannot go there, you know. So that's why, please understand, the purpose of retreat is we really go there. We really go there about which you have been reading the guidebook, its guidebook. Okay? So that's why, you know, truth is not understood only by thinking mind. Why? Because it's so obvious, you know, because a truth which especially Buddhists are talking about is beyond thinking. You know, it's beyond word. And of course, from Buddha and all our great Buddhist masters, of course they are so compassionate and they really want share the truth which they found with all of us. And then, of course, they expressed using their words, you know, Sanskrit word, Pali words, and English words, Tibetan words, Chinese words, and Japanese words, you know. But the truth is expressed in words. But from these words, we cannot go to the truth directly. You know? Why? Because truth is already beyond our language, beyond our thought, beyond our thinking. You know? Then, if we still try to catch the truth in our thinking mind, then many obstacles will start, you know, because usually if we try to grasp the truth with words, you know, we usually conceptualize it and we make some kind of dogma, you know, ideology, or maybe dogma is good, you know. Then we pick up just one dogma and we, of course, negate all other dogmas. And then we say, of course, my teacher is right, but all other teachers are wrong. My lineage is best, all other lineage are inferior. You know, my tradition is best, and all other traditions are wrong or inferior, or something like that. You know, we are so familiar with this kind of people, you know. And why these kind of things happened? Very simple, because people still try to grasp the truth only by concept, only by thinking, only by word. Then it means people stick to just dogma, you know. But when Jesus said, "I am the way," you know, "I am the truth," you know, what does it mean? It means we ourselves are truth. You know, it doesn't mean we monopolize truth and all other sect, all other religion, all other lineage or tradition are wrong. Not like that, you know. So we ourselves are truth. It means when we let go of our thinking mind, then we find truth here inside ourselves, you know. And then this truth is already beyond thinking, beyond concept, beyond lineage, beyond tradition, beyond religion. That's why we can say all the traditions are wrong, and at the same time all the traditions are right. You know, so here, of course, we are in secular sense we are doing Buddhist meditation retreat. But I have no intention to talk about Buddhism. You know, I have only one intention of talking about just truth. You know, I have no intention of talking about Buddhist theory, Buddhist dogma, Buddhist wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. You know, if I talk about this Buddhist something, then non-Buddhist people cannot accept it, you know, because they are not Buddhist. But here, I'm talking about just a truth, which is true for everybody, which should be true for everybody. 1 + 1 = 2 is true for everybody, everybody on this planet. That's why I want to talk about, we want to discuss about only that kind of truth, which is true for everybody on this planet, you know? So please understand this, okay? That's why to my retreat, anyone can join. Buddhist people, non-Buddhist people, anybody is welcome. Because, why? Because everyone is suffering from their own thinking mind. You know, not only Buddhist people, Christian people, Muslim people, or atheist people. They are suffering from their thinking mind, you know? So now, and then we are practicing how to let go of our thinking mind, you know? Like that, okay? So we are practicing now how to let go of our thinking mind, and then we are trying to enter into the world of emptiness. It means world of formless, you know? And then, only there we can find peace. And as I said, sometimes extremely big disaster attacked us. And when we are reaching the end, we are forced to enter into that kind of the world of formless, as Japanese people experienced after March 11th, you know. But for us, now we can enter into the world of formless intentionally, you know. We don't have to be attacked by tsunami, you know. We don't have to reach the end of our life. But now, with this young body, you know, in this safe place, we can enter into the world of formless intentionally, you know, like that. Okay? So, already this morning we practiced the awareness of our body sensation, awareness body sensation. You know, and I asked you to feel it. And I think all of you already felt it, you know. I hope, you know. Because this awareness of body sensation is so simple. And from my experience, I know nobody who cannot, you know. And especially people who join our retreat, you know, in Japan or here, usually they are already ready for it, you know. That's why usually all the participants so far could feel the right hand, you know. Why? Because as I said, people anyway joined this retreat. Why? Because you are ready for it. And maybe through Aspie's email or some of your friends told you about this retreat, you felt something. That's why you applied and you came here. And why? Because you feel, because you are ready. You are ready for accepting something. You are ready because you feel something exists. Some truth exists beyond my thinking mind. And as long as I stay in that world of thinking mind, I cannot find any peace. Maybe you didn't understand clearly like this, but because you felt something, that's why you came here. It means you are ready for it. Because you are already sensitive enough to feel truth beyond your thinking mind. You know? So, do you have this sensitivity or not? This really separate people, fortunately, unfortunately or not, you know? And already I'm giving so much hints, then yes, I can feel it. Yes, I have been thinking like that. I have been feeling like that, but nobody tell me like that. That's why I was so confused. But finally, everything is well articulated. That's why now I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm looking for. I know what I'm trying to do in my life. Something like that, you know? But if nothing rings, you know, after giving you so much information about this, the world of formless, if nothing rings inside you, then maybe you don't understand anything about what I'm talking about. You know? Why? Because you are still completely trapped in your thinking mind. Then if you are trapped in your thinking mind, of course you don't understand anything about what I'm talking about. You know? So because constant noise is just going on inside yourself, on and on and on and on, very loud music, very loud talking, very loud chatting, it's just on and on and on. And you never experience even 1 second of silence. Then you don't understand the peace of mind. You know? But if, yes, sometimes, in most cases, I'm so preoccupied by my noisy speech, noisy chatting, noisy talking, you know? But once in a while, I experience just 1 second of silence. And at that time, I feel so peace. But my problem is, I cannot keep this silence for more than 2 seconds or 3 seconds. Then you understand what I'm talking about. Then you became so interested in what we are doing right now. Why? Because what we are doing this three meditation to prolong this silence. Not just 2-3 seconds, but to 1 minute, 10 minutes, 1 hour, and all day long, something like that, you know? Okay? So, and as I said yesterday, biggest obstacle to experience this silence is, of course, our attachment to our thinking mind. And especially, people have a very sharp mind, and it means people who can think very quickly, very efficiently. These people, of course, they are good at school, you know. They get good mark because they can think very quickly, you know. And, of course, they are good at their business, you know, like that. Then because they are so good at in school and in business and like that, then of course usually they have a pride in their very quick thinking mind. Then tragedy starts because they have too much pride, too much attachment to their quick thinking mind. For them, it's very difficult to let go of their thinking mind. Why? Because it's their pride, it's their identity, and they have a very strong attachment, you know. I know like that. My father is like that, you know. My father has extremely sharp mind, and he's so good at business. He's a lawyer, you know. But now, he just cannot let go of his thinking mind. And he suffers a lot, because he's now reaching the end of his life, you know. He's very old. But he does know any peace of mind which exists beyond his thinking mind. That's why he just suffers, you know. So I know people like that. And to be honest, I cannot do anything with my father, with these people, you know. But I am just waiting when they realized, yes, their thinking mind is creating hell for them. The youth think, their quick thinking mind has brought so much benefit to them. You know, of course, if we are good at school or good at business, we can get so much benefit, lots of money, social position, you know, social status, people's respect, everything. But now, they understand. Yes, their very quick thinking mind has brought so many good things, but at the same time, ironically, it has created just hell, H-E-L-L, you know, for them. You know, then I really hope because people in the government, or in company, and especially people, the top class people, that kind of people who are running the country or a company or like that, those people are always, of course, like that. Very quick thinking mind. And but exactly they are creating their thinking mind, creating hell for them, but at the same time, hell for everybody. Like that. That's why here in this very small Buddhist meditation retreat, we are just only just less than 20 people, you know, very, very, very few, you know. But I have no intention to just, we are doing this only for just few people. Why? Because this hell is for everybody, you know. And as a human, as a race, we have been suffering from this kind of hell, which our thinking mind has created. And we cannot continue these kind of things anymore as a human, as a race. You know, that's why point is, meditation is not anymore a personal thing. Not anymore. You know, meditation should be just more public. More public means as a humanity, as itself, we should meditate to advance one step further. It means from the world of thinking mind to the world of beyond thinking mind. It means the world of form to world of formless. And actually, you know, now everywhere, America and Europe and Japan and India, China, and Arabic countries, you know, East Asian countries, everywhere, we are already reaching the limit, you know. Our capitalism is already stopping functioning, you know. And so many environmental problems, so many psychological problems, you know. So now, humanity as a race, we are already reaching the end of, like some kind of dead end, you know. But I think it's very good, extremely good, you know. Why? Because if we are reaching the dead end means dead end of one stage, you know, dead end of thinking mind, dead end of like a form, dead end of identification with form, you know. Everything is so good. Why? Because now we can say goodbye to all these kind of things. You know, we cannot say goodbye if everything is working well, you know. We can say goodbye only when things doesn't work, you know, like that. So then we really have to enter into the world of formless. And then this morning we practiced awareness of body sensation, you know. So feeling body sensation, we can let go of our thinking mind. Okay? So already I gave you lengthy instructions, enough instructions, so that's why everything is clear, I hope. No. So if you don't feel body sensation, it's your thinking mind which prevents you from feeling it. So that's why just let go of your thinking mind and just enter into your body sensation. And also, as I said, your thinking mind prevents you from entering into this body sensation. Why? Because, yes, we have an attachment to our thinking mind. And also, we hesitate to let go of our thinking mind. Why? It's not only because of we have a pride in thinking mind, or we have pride in very good thinking mind, you know? But also, actually, usually our thinking mind is our identity itself, you know? It's not like, yes, I can let go of this kind of clothing, you know? I can get let go of my, you know, belonging, you know? But thinking mind is not just a belonging. Thinking mind is not just my possession, you know? But thinking mind is myself. Thinking mind is my identity. Thinking mind is who you are, you know? That's why you cannot let go of your thinking mind. Because when you let go of your thinking mind, you actually let go of your identity. You let go of who you are. That's why, of course, you cannot. You feel so much fear, so much pain, because you might lose your identity, you know, by letting go of your thinking mind. So this is the biggest and last obstacle of your meditation, of your letting go of your thinking mind. But then, but this is all wrong. I said thinking mind is your identity. But actually this is wrong. Thinking mind is not your identity. Thinking mind is your false identity. It's not true identity. Then, when we are in Deer Park, we had a very interesting discussion with my American friend, you know, and my friend Reiko also, you know, like that. And very big contrast, you know. Like many Japanese people, like Reiko or like that, for them to let go of a thinking mind is not big deal. Not big deal. Why? Because by letting go of their thinking mind, immediately they can feel peace. Immediately they can feel calmness. So that's why, how come it's such a big deal to let go of a thinking mind? You know, Just let go of thinking mind, and then let's enjoy this calmness. Let's enjoy peacefulness. How come we still have to have such attachment? It's ridiculous, you know? And then, one of my American friends who has been to my retreat for 3 years straight, he said, but he still feels some kind of fear. He still feels some kind of hesitation. He feels he is entering into completely new world, new territory. It means foreign country. So that's why he has a fear, you know. So, on the other hand, person like Reiko or Japanese people immediately just let go of their thinking mind, enter into this land. And it's like, for Japanese people, it's really like returning to their true home, you know, very, very comfortable, you know. So that's why, how come do we still hesitate, you know, when we go back to our true home? How come we still feel hesitation? It's ridiculous. You know, just let go of our thinking mind, we just go back to our true home, and we feel peace, we feel calmness, and I'm so happy. Then, this is it. But a person like my friend, he said, he feels he's entering into some kind of strange world, new world, you know. That's why he hesitates, he feels fear, or like that. But, you know, he has been attending my retreat 3 years straight, you know. So it means, of course, he himself feels some kind of peacefulness, some kind of joy when he lets go of our thinking mind. And actually, his meditation has improved tremendously. I know him already 3 years straight. And he himself changing every year. And now he's very calm. He's very joyful. You know, his face is shining, you know. But used to be, he's a little bit bitter, you know, full of anxiety, full of, you know, negative emotion. Like that. So, he himself enjoying already result of letting go of his thinking mind. But still, he hesitates because he feels he is entering into a new world. Okay? So, but I don't know why. Because some people very quickly, okay, just let go of their mind and just go back to their true home, you know, and then they found peace of mind. And some people still hesitating, but feeling peace of mind little by little, then overcoming their hesitation, overcoming their fear, overcoming, you know, that kind of things. Then finally, little by little, reaching this wonderful world, the world of homeless, you know. So, anyway, you know, like as I said, as a human, as humanity, we are really ending up at the dead end of our evolution. And now we really have to advance one step further, you know. At that time, some people, with no hesitation, you know, they just advance one step further. How? Of course they can. Because this is already, it doesn't work, you know, just throw away. Then advance one step further, then they are entering into the extremely wonderful world. That's it. But some people are still hesitating. And some people, they don't know the new world. They know only this old world. And then they're completely stuck, in dead end. You know? So, point is, probably from now, I think there are these three kinds of people. You know, one kind people who just, without hesitation, without anything, just go there. And some people with hesitation, but little by little go there. And some people, they have no idea about new world. They have no idea about such kind of things, and they are just stuck at the end, dead end of this old world. You know? So, that's why I know all of you belong to just this first and second category. You know? Maybe some of you have no hesitation, and some of you have still some kind of hesitation. But the point is, please just have a taste of this peacefulness. Just have a glimpse of this silence of this new world by practicing these three kinds of meditation. Okay? So, last 10 minutes, I talk about just compassion. You know? So, compassion, as already we discussed enough, you know, compassion doesn't exist in the world of thinking mind. Okay? That's why some kind of teaching, like you should have compassion to even for your prosecutor, you know, even someone who tried to kill you, you know. Of course, if you read Buddhist sutra, you know, some kind of bad guy like Angulimala, you know, who was trying to kill even Buddha, you know. But Buddha has, of course, compassion to him. Then Buddha just saved him or something like that. And there are so many extreme stories like that in Buddhist sutra, you know. Then maybe some Buddhist teacher, you know, quoted this kind of story, and they say, yes, that's like this. You should have a compassion to the people who might kill you or who just accuse you or who prosecute you or something like that, you know. But usually this kind of teaching doesn't work. Usually it doesn't work, you know. Why? Because then you force yourself, yes, I have to have a compassion to this kind of people, you know, like that. And I should have a compassion to this, like that, you know. But it's this, you are just forcing yourself, you know. But compassion has nothing to do with forcing. Or, compassion has nothing to do with, I have to have a compassion to that kind of people. I have to think like that. I have to be more gentle to this person. I have to be more kind to this kind of person. These kind of things have nothing to do with compassion. Why? Because these kind of things are just thinking. Just thought form, you know. But compassion should be just natural, just automatic. So that's why here I'm not forcing you to have compassion to your enemy, you know. But here we are really trying to enter into the dimension of compassion. And then in this dimension, in this new dimension, you can feel compassion automatically like that. Okay? So, that's why before practicing compassion, we practice body awareness. Then we enter into the world of inner space. Then, in this inner space, compassion exists. Okay? So then, as I said, the opposite of compassion is just our ego. Just our ego. You know. That's why structure of compassion meditation is nothing but the structure of our ego. Because analyzing the structure of our ego, and we are trying to create a completely new human relationship which is not based on our ego. You know? Then as for ego, we already explained, I already explained, you know, ego is an extremely strange living entity which exists inside ourselves. And our ego, basically, it's ignorant, absolutely ignorant, you know. But ego itself thinks he is smart, you know. This is the worst kind of person, you know. And like a fundamentally ignorant, but he himself thinks he is smart. You know, this kind of person creates so much trouble, you know. And actually our ego is exactly like that. Our ego itself seeking for some kind of happiness. But our ego is so ignorant, that's why ego finds happiness in negative emotions. Okay? This is the most perverted things, you know. We find joy in negative emotions. Please check yourself very carefully and you will be surprised. Yes, actually I am enjoying my negative emotions. You know? That's why we couldn't stop our negative emotions. Okay? But now we know our ego enjoys, actually our ego find joy in our negative emotions, and our ego is using our negative emotion for its survival. You know? Okay? So by eating negative emotion, our ego is bigger and bigger and bigger. You know? Then our ego needs more negative emotions. You know? But let's stop feeding such a negative emotion to our ego. You know, because it just creates unhappiness, misery. You know? So then that's why we start our compassion meditation by praying like, may I be well and happy. May I be free from any kind of suffering. Something like that. Okay? Okay, so during this retreat, please always feel body sensation and compassion inside yourselves. And to feel this, please once more I make sure, please keep silence. No, please keep silence. Because if you just chat, you know, this chatting will create so much thinking mind, you know. Then of course you can chat any time, but at least during this retreat, please keep silence and please enjoy peacefulness when you go beyond your thinking mind, when you go beyond your chatting mind, you know, really, because this is the only one thing which you are looking for, you know. Okay, so I will finish, and from now it's 10 o'clock, so from 10 o'clock to 10:30, we'll do walking meditation, and if tea is ready, we do also tea meditation, you know, but in total 30 minutes. So then around 10:30, please come back here again. and then we start sitting, you know. But for 30 minutes, walking and tea.